This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, we have no guest today. What's going on?
Yeah, Greg, we're stepping out of our usual format today, and we're going to do a podcast today about podcasting. Now, as our listeners may know, we do this show in partnership with Toastmasters International, and in the April 2020 issue of the Toastmaster magazine, there is an article about podcasting, and there's actually a beautiful photo of both Greg and myself on page 6, side by side. And speaking with our partners at World Headquarters, we thought it would be a good idea to take a, take a step back from our usual format and look at podcasting. Specifically, our focus today, as you know, Greg, is how to create and produce interesting content.
And that's no April Fool.
That's right.
Podcasting is alive and well, and we're pretty excited about it. In fact, we discovered from podcastinginsights.com that there are currently over 900,000 podcasts. So we're edging up to the million. And with those 900,000 podcasts, there's over 30 million episodes. Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, 30 million episodes as of January 2020.
But sadly, some of those have pod faded, meaning they just sort of fall by the wayside for various reasons. Maybe someone just didn't have enough gas to keep the episodes running, or perhaps they couldn't find an audience, or maybe they just weren't interesting. So it's one of the things we want to be looking at today.
Yes, and interesting content is one way to avoid that pitfall, if you will, of pod fading. So we thought, you know, with the introduction of Pathways, all 11 paths actually at level 4 now have a podcasting elective. So our purpose, in addition to just talking about this topic of interesting content, is really to encourage you, you who are listening, to give the podcasting elective a shot. And should you do that with the combination of the guidance that is provided from Toastmasters, as well as what we have to offer here, I think you'll be well positioned to have a successful first podcast episode, and maybe even launch a whole new podcast series.
Yes, it'll actually be a lot of fun. Both Ryan and I have had a lot of experience with podcasts, and we're still going after more than a decade. Even if you aren't that interested in creating your own podcast, seeing what a podcaster goes through to create an episode could actually be very interesting to you. Plus, perhaps if you're looking at becoming more of a professional speaker or promoting your business, then being a guest on a podcast, that just might be something that's in your future.
So, Greg, can you chat for a minute about some of the things that it takes for a podcast to be successful? Like you mentioned, so many of them have pod faded, but what is it that is required to have some steam in the engine and be around for long term?
Well, if you think of how many podcasts are out there, first of all, you're going to need to be found, okay? Also, right. These days, it's got to be technically sound to a point. I mean, it has to be able to sound good. There's no excuse these days for it to totally sound like a really bad phone recording. Although sometimes if you're interviewing someone who is at the other end of the world and you're maybe recording on Skype and you have some challenges, it may not be avoidable, but you do your best to make it sound good. And then of course, and one of the big reasons for our session today is it needs to be interesting. It needs to be interesting because you want it to be something that you want people to listen to, unless you just want to listen to your own episodes every month or every week or however often you do them.
Right.
So Ryan, I'm curious, what do you think makes something interesting?
I'm going to actually take a page from a couple of past episodes that we did to answer this. You know, I was thinking on this topic the other day and came up with this insight that I was thinking was my own. And then in reviewing some episodes, realized that these were points that were made by both Keith Ferrazzi on episode 141 and Maureen Zappala on episode 152. And the basic idea is that as humans, we're social animals and people are inherently interesting and we're wired. I think it was as Maureen Zappala said, we're wired for connection. we just naturally find other people interesting. And part of that is, from an evolutionary standpoint, we are looking for information in our environment, data about what works, how to survive, how to thrive. By learning from other people's thoughts and experiences, we can then be more successful ourselves. Again, with that social connection, if you've got people on your podcast, which I don't know about you, Greg, but I've never heard a podcast that didn't have people on it. You're already working with a nucleus, if you will, of something that's going to be interesting. And then, of course, we'll get into this episode more about how to build from that. What are your thoughts, just sort of off the cuff, Greg?
So just for folks who aren't aware, Keith Ferrazzi was the 2018 Golden Gavel recipient, and Maureen Zappella. She's a frequent contributor to the Toastmaster magazine. She's a professional speaker, and I believe she's formerly from NASA.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, propulsion engineer, I believe.
Oh, that's right, propulsion engineer. We've interviewed her a few times. She's actually quite fascinating to listen to. One other thought I had was that something becomes interesting if it connects something to something that you already know, to maybe extend some piece of knowledge or information that you also might be familiar with.
Mm. Yeah, I think when you can kind of take your mental map of the world and this new piece of information, slot it in somewhere that you already sort of have a mental placeholder for and see that connection. And I think even when that happens, there's something biologically that happens in your brain with the connection of ideas. I'm a little bit out of my depth in talking about brain science, but that's what I've heard at least.
Let's just dive right into interesting content right now, Ryan. Let's just start with the why, because I think that's where it all begins.
Yes, if we are to believe Simon Sinek, who wrote a book called Start With Why and also an excellent TED Talk called Start With Why. I think it's always helpful to start there when you're undertaking any new endeavor. Why am I doing this? What's my purpose? What am I hoping to get out of it? What am I hoping other people might get out of it? And certainly, as we alluded to with the new Pathways elective for podcasting, that might be where some people are approaching this is, you know what, I just want to experiment with this podcasting thing and see what it's all about. Sounds kind of intriguing. I'm not necessarily looking to start a podcast empire or be some kind of podcast maven. And if that's where folks are, hey, I think that's great. It's similar to Toastmasters. Some people join Toastmasters just to get more comfortable speaking in front of an audience. And in that case, the content may not be as important. It's just about get up there in front of an audience, get more comfortable, build your skills. And then later on down the road, you can work on really trying to tweak and enhance and optimize your content to appeal to the audience and capture their interest.
Absolutely. And so instead of an audience per se who's sitting or standing in front of you, you'll be doing it in front of a microphone. Your why doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to have some philosophical meaning. It could be as simple as, hey, I wanted to start a podcast, or perhaps I wanted to talk about topic X. I wanted to talk about fishing or space sciences or
comedy or a television series or show that you're watching. I mean, it can be anything, anything. That's part of the beauty of it. No matter what the topic, just like the internet, you've got a platform. Or you can create a platform and other people can hopefully find you and flock to your show and build community.
Flock to your show. I love that. Or you perhaps, I'm also thinking now, maybe you just want to use it to promote your business. That's certainly another option as well. And we're starting to see a lot more of that. Or your Toastmasters Club.
Mm, true. True. Greg, I think it's a lot like when you're preparing a speech for your club, especially for someone who's kind of got the basics down and they really are looking at how can I optimize and really be more effective as a speaker? You want to look at your purpose. What's the purpose of my speech? Am I out to entertain? Am I trying to inform, to educate, to persuade my audience to accept my proposal? These are things we frequently hear in Toastmasters speech evaluations. And it's, I think, the same mindset applies here, is to get really clear on what that purpose is. And you know, it might to some extent vary from episode to episode, but generally I think there's an overarching purpose that probably extends as a almost a defining thread throughout the series, if you will. And of course, in order to do that, there is something about stepping out of yourself and focusing on the needs and the wants of your audience, because the audience is always asking, just as you who are listening from home or from wherever you are right now, you're saying to yourself, what's in it for me? Why should I continue to give my attention to this, my energy, my time? If you really focus on what the audience wants and needs, I think you'll be much more successful in terms of attracting and keeping their attention.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. And similarly, a speech, like a speech, a podcast, you really want to look at that win, win, win. First of all, the audience needs to win. If they're going to be listening to your podcast, every podcast or a particular episode, they need to walk away with something. They want to say to themselves, this was really time well spent. I really enjoyed this episode. I got something out of it. I want to listen to more. Obviously, if you are creating a podcast where you're going to have guests on, the guests need to walk away with something as well. Again, similarly, time well spent. They also have a reason for wanting to spend time with you. The other thing to consider is that, let's say you are a professional speaker, you not only want to appeal and make sure that you're appeasing the audience, but also the sponsoring organization, right? Mm-hmm. The people who are writing you the check or the people who are having you come in and speak. Similarly, with a podcast, obviously, Ryan and I need to get something out of this. And I don't know about you, Ryan, but for me, I get a lot of enjoyment out of it. I get to learn a lot. And if it became something that was purely a chore, it's something I probably wouldn't want to do, because there's no hiding the fact that these episodes, although we do a recording, a lot that goes into preparation and then post-production.
Absolutely. People see the finished product. What they don't see is the, not to be melodramatic, but the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into producing that product, which is not a small quantity.
Yeah, just think of a half an hour radio show or TV show.
Yeah, people who host a show on the radio, like a daily show, I've heard them frequently say that the majority of their time is not in the studio broadcasting, it's in show prep. For us, we've got not only the show prep, the recording, but then, as you just said, Greg, all of that post-production work as well, the editing and polishing, posting and distributing and so on and so forth.
Perhaps this might be a great time to talk a little bit about our why. What is our why for this particular podcast, the Toastmasters podcast?
Well, I think if we rewind back to the beginning of the show, some of our listeners who've been around for a long time might remember that when, I'll say this podcast started, but that's not really true, but there was an incarnation of this podcast before the Toastmasters podcast called Talking Toastmasters. And that was something that Bo Bennett and I did together. And then in 2009, we rebranded and restarted the Toastmasters podcast officially under the Toastmasters umbrella as the organization's official podcast. A couple of the thoughts that went into the why to do that was, first of all, to help Toastmasters bridge to the digital world. Podcasting was new media, new technology. The organization wants to stay on the cutting edge with that. And there's also the advantage of appealing to a younger demographic. Certainly in 2009, I'm not sure if that holds true today as much, but certainly in 2009, podcasting and new media and social media was more embraced by a younger demographic as opposed to the opposite end of the spectrum.
That's probably true, because now the whole world is on Facebook, and so some of the younger demographic, they're now off on something else.
Right. Yeah. They're like, Facebook? Are you kidding? That's for my grandma.
I also like to think of it as more like an extension to the Toastmaster magazine in many respects, but rather than being just an audio transcript of the actual articles, we like to try to make each episode interesting in a couple of different ways. Some of the things we like to do is take the topics and the personalities that are featured in the magazine and also in the Toastmasters world, because they do come for the most part from the magazine, but not all, try to bring them to life. Then what we do is try to see if we could go just a little deeper, try to expand on it, maybe ask some questions on what was said. But what Ryan and I really love to do, and this is what I think makes it even more exciting, is that we also try to answer the questions that people might be thinking, right? Because you read an article, you're thinking about something. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, well, if we've got these questions, chances are that other people might have them too.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that gets into the the how-to. Like, okay, that's a great concept, but how do you do that? Or how do you do that in the face of this or that particular situation? And we might get into some of those specifics later. But Greg, I think I can speak for both of us in saying that we're pretty positively overwhelmed by the opportunity that we have to use the magazine as a springboard and as a partner in producing this content, because we're already starting out with a phenomenal magazine with really interesting people featured, really interesting articles. What we do is then take those people and sort of almost march them across the stage and shine the spotlight on them a little bit longer and see what else we can do to add value and depth and new directions to those conversations. But again, that magazine is so key. So, you know, that might be something for other people listening. Is there an organization or some other content source that already has interesting content that you can partner with and use as a springboard for your podcast?
For those who are new to the podcast, Ryan, maybe perhaps share some of the other people or things that we typically feature in the podcast, in our episodes.
Yeah, sure. So in addition to people who are featured in the magazine or who wrote articles in the magazine, we speak every year to the new international president of Toastmasters International. We always speak with the new world champion of public speaking. Before the international convention every year, we chat with the speakers who are going to be at the convention, typically including whoever's receiving the Golden Gavel Award that year and whoever's delivering the keynote address at the conference. So again, you know, sometimes it is right from the magazine, whether it's a person who's profiled or there's a spotlight on someone in the magazine, or even, as I said, the author of the article himself or herself.
Yeah, Ryan, there's so many choices that I actually look forward to getting the magazine every single month. But of course, that means a lot more homework for you and I, doesn't it?
Right.
Because even before we think about the podcast, I mean, we need to read the articles and we need to do some research. And then, of course, we want to make sure that we compare notes so that we're on the same page. And how we're going to take the words eloquently written on the page and really dig into that person's personality and perspective and really bring them to life. Sorry, Ryan.
What's got you cracking up there, Greg?
I was just thinking when we were talking about all the different personalities that we've interviewed. I mean, there were so many, but one of them for some reason is just stuck in my mind that you had actually brought to light. Our good friend on episode 100, Mohammed Khatani.
Oh yeah, I loved that episode. I love his story, and of course his speech too was fabulous.
He's the 2015 world champion of public speaking, and his speech was entitled "The Power of Words." So this was your idea, Ryan, maybe why don't you share this one?
Yeah, so this was an interesting episode, and I think kind of an interesting case study when we're looking at, I keep saying the word interesting, but interesting content. There were a number of things that came out of that interview, and we probably could have done this with any number of episodes, as Greg was alluding to. But first of all, Mohammed's speech began with probably the most provocative opening that I've ever seen in a Toastmasters speech. If you've seen it, you'll remember he came out on stage and was pretending to light a cigarette. Of course, the audience is like, you know, probably thinking, is that even legal to do in here? Like, what's this dude doing?
Huge gasp. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And then he looks at the audience and says, like, what? Like, what's your problem? And he proceeds to give some like false facts about how smoking's not really that bad. And what came out in our interview with him, he shared that was sort of a joke that one of his coworkers made one day where they were on break outside. One of the coworkers was smoking, and a friend challenged him on, hey, you know, smoking's not really that healthy. And then the guy who was smoking started throwing out all these false facts about how smoking's actually not that bad. And his audience was like believing what he was saying. So I thought that was a really brilliant, not strategy, but brilliant application of taking something in your real life and weaving it into a speech. And again, by having that extended dialogue time to chat with Mohammed, we were able to uncover that gem from his experience.
And while he was sharing his story with us, I just kept going back and I could see him on that stage.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to get that image out of your mind.
Oh, yes. And I remember during our conversation how Muhammad was sharing with us how just before he was going out on stage, he had a little conversation with past world champ from 2004, Randy Harvey, and he ended up making a last little tweak to his presentation.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the genius of that moment of that episode, Greg, actually, I credit to you, because Muhammad had told us how the line that Randy Harvey suggested he changed was the line of the speech that Muhammad thought was the most beautiful line he'd ever written in a speech before. Yeah, I was so glad that you asked the follow-up question, which I didn't even think to ask at the moment. But you said, well, can you tell us what was the line before, and then what did you change it to? That was a really powerful part to hear Muhammad. He not only said this was the line, but he delivered it the way he would have delivered it if he hadn't tweaked it, with sort of the dramatic tension of the line. It was at a really key moment. And then he shared with us what the line was changed to. And you know, that was like a little clinic right in itself to hear, and to hear how he decided to sacrifice what he thought was a really great line because of some feedback as to what would have the most impact on the audience.
And I didn't even pre-plan that one. It just sort of popped into my head as he was speaking. I'm thinking, what was the line? And again, not having had that conversation with him, we would not have gotten to that point. And I thought that was fascinating.
Right. So if you want to hear that line, you got to go back to episode 100 with Muhammad Qahtani, and you can hear exactly what it was and then what the winning line, so to speak, ended up being.
What's also really interesting, Ryan, is the fact that Muhammad Qahtani was not even supposed to be in the finals of the World Championship of Public Speaking.
Right. I wonder how many people in the audience or how many people watching through Toastmasters on Demand knew that that was the case. I mean, the fact is he was there and deserved 100% to be there. Nothing to take away from that. But the circumstances, as Muhammad shared them with us, is that he had come in second place at district in the international speech contest. And the person who had taken first place was not able to travel to the convention to compete. Something had come up. And so Muhammad, as the contest rules go, he was the second place winner. He went and represented his district. And so he completely did not expect to win the world championship. In fact, he shared with us in the interview, if you remember, Greg, the contest started and he watched contestant after contestant get up and come across the stage and was just blown away. Like, oh my gosh, this is the big leagues here. I'm out of my league. And he talked about how the contestants were like nervously pacing backstage, practicing their speeches. And he was like, you know what? Just me being here, having this opportunity, like, I feel like I've won just by having the chance to share my message with the audience. So he actually just decided, I'm just going to relax, enjoy the moment. And he talked about playing video games and texting friends back home on his phone before he got up to go out on the stage. It was pretty remarkable.
Again, it's something that you could easily visualize. I also liked in the episode where you said to him, do you have a theory as to why you won?
Right. Yeah. I didn't want to toot my own horn, but again, with this chance to just sit down and ask people questions, that's that curiosity of, he totally didn't expect to win. I wonder what his story is to why he won. What does he think gave him the advantage? And of course, he shed some light on that for us as well.
So this is just one example of how a 7-minute speech, I'm not sure exactly how long his speech was, an article in the magazine led to this incredible conversation where we got to find out a lot more about Muhammad. We got to dig deeper. We got questions answered that we never thought that we would know the answers to. And it was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah. And, you know, while some of it was pre-planned, for sure, we do prepare for these, there's also just the the spontaneity of the moment. Like, again, you know, Greg, you never could have known that he was going to say there was a line in his speech that he changed. But then when he said it, you're like, what's the line? We need to know the line. So that there's something about just being spontaneous and going with the natural curiosity that's aroused as the discussion progresses.
Well, that concludes part one on creating interesting podcast content. We hope you enjoyed that episode because we've got part two coming along for you. In that episode, Ryan and I will continue our conversation, of course, in our own little entertaining way. But this time we'll be focusing up on five key areas that you want to consider when you want to create compelling content. We'll continue to use examples and make references to previous episodes. We'll also include one bonus must-do to keep your audience engaged and to keep them listening. So stay tuned for part two. In the meantime, you can find other episodes at ToastmastersPodcast.com, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Google Play, and feel free to connect with us at The TM Podcast on Twitter. Thanks for tuning in.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.